37 just for a few moments this morning. And I hope you're not too disappointed if we get out 5 minutes earlier than usual. I'm not always very long-winded. But just for a few minutes this morning, the book of Acts chapter 15 and verse 37, I'd like to speak on the theme, as the years go by, time passes, and God's plan is that we're changing and we're growing and we're more and more in His image. Acts chapter 15, verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Let's just pray together this morning. Lord, that you would reach down, that you would touch our hearts, that you would touch our minds, and Lord, that you would open up our eyes, and somehow today, Lord, that your power, that your anointing, that your spirit would be here in a special way, that you would touch our hearts with healing power, that you would touch our minds with healing power. And sometimes the hurts, Lord, somehow that the hurts of things that happened so long ago, Lord, that you would ease the pain, and Lord, that you would give us a fresh vision for tomorrow, that you can let us see, Lord, not what we were, not what we are, but help us today to comprehend and to understand and to grasp what we can be, because your power is with us. Your name is in our lives and in our hearts, and your Holy Ghost and your presence moves in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated. As the years go by, we read in this verse of Scripture, Paul and Barnabas, they're getting ready to take another missionary journey. They're going to go throughout the world in that time and all of the known world back then, and they're going to go and they're going to preach the gospel, and they're going to go and they're going to start new churches. And here Barnabas comes along with his nephew, John Mark, and he wants to take him again. But John Mark had gone with them the last time, and somehow, we don't know why, but he gave up. He got discouraged. He got frustrated. Maybe he was a young man. Maybe he missed Mama's cooking. Maybe he wanted to go home and be back with Mama. Maybe he just wasn't ready for that past trip. But whatever the reason, the last time he went with these two preachers, he got discouraged or frustrated, and he went home. And now he wants to come again. But now Paul's upset because he had abandoned them the last time. And Paul's a working man. He's a strong personality. He goes throughout the world. It doesn't matter what comes against him. He keeps on going. He keeps on moving. He keeps on preaching the word of God. He keeps pressing forward. He doesn't let anything stand in the way. And here's Barnabas. Barnabas is a little more compassionate. He's a little more soft-hearted. He's a little more forgiving. And Barnabas wants to give John Mark a second chance, but Paul doesn't want to do anything to do with that. They get upset. They get frustrated at each other, these two preachers. And finally they say, I'm going to go one way and you're going to go the other way. So Paul goes off and he preaches the gospel in one section of the world, and Barnabas takes John Mark and he gives John Mark a second chance, and they go off in a different direction and they preach the gospel. But we can learn a lot about ourselves when we look at this verse. Some of us are like Paul. Some of us look at people and maybe we just don't have the patience with people. Maybe we don't have the patience with their shortcomings. Maybe we don't have the patience with their failures. And maybe some of us are like John Mark. We've done things wrong in our life, but we decide we want to keep on going. See, there's all kinds of people in the world, but the thing is God works with both sides. And God wants to change both sides. And as the years go by, the Lord is not interested in what we were yesterday. He's not as interested in as much as what we are right now today. But what the Lord wants to look at us, and what the Lord wants to see when He looks at us, is what we are going to be whenever we stay inside the church, whenever we keep going forward, whenever we keep getting the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives, when we keep growing, when we keep maturing, and when the Word of God begins to move in our lives and our hearts, and the power of the Holy Ghost working in us, that God wants to see. He wants to see us for what we are going to be someday when the trumpet sounds and we're all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and whenever this mortality shall vest itself or dress itself in immortality. God isn't worried about yesterday's failures. God isn't worried about yesterday's hurts. God is more concerned with what He wants us to be. John Mark failed. He failed. He messed up. But the thing is, he kept on going. Paul didn't have any patience with people. Sometimes, and maybe some of us here, we just look at others in the church and we think, well, why do they do that? Or why do they dress like that? Why do they act like that? We don't have patience. But boy, we want God to have patience with us. We're all like that. But here we go. Paul, when he looked at John Mark, he saw a failure. Barnabas, when he looked at John Mark, he saw this guy needs a second chance. Isn't it good that when God looks at us, He decides we can have that second chance. We can have the third chance. We can have the fourth chance. We can have the 10th chance, the 20th chance. We all have our failures in our lives. We all have faults. And some of us here, we're still hurting over things that happened in our lives 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We can't let it go. But the Lord wants to heal all of that. The Lord wants to wipe it all away. And the Lord wants us to pick ourselves up and keep on going and keep on serving Him. And every time that we're in His presence, God is doing something in our lives, and He's changing us, and He's molding us and making us into something that we should be. We can read about Luke, the fig tree that was cursed, and the servant said, Lord, let it alone this year also. I'll dig about it. I'll dung it. Let's see what's going to happen. The servant was asking the Lord, just give a little more time. Just give a second chance. I'm so glad that we've got a God in heaven who's willing to give us all a little more time. He's willing to give us all a second chance. He's willing to keep working with us. The Lord doesn't throw us away. He just keeps on working. The Lord keeps on working in our lives, molding us and changing us, making us into His image. So we read about Paul and Barnabas. They have the big fight. They have the big fuss. Can you imagine how John Mark felt? Don't you think that he felt so discouraged that day and thought, well, maybe I am useless. Maybe I am worthless. Maybe I ought to give up. But we read in the Bible 10 years later, in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. This is Paul writing now. And he talks and he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Now he's talking about Mark, who's his fellow laborer, his fellow prisoner in the gospel. Now he's talking about John Mark. He said, if John Mark goes to your church, listen to him. Let him preach to you. Let him teach to you. Let him talk to you about the Word of God. Let him minister to you. All of these years have gone by, and John Mark never gave up. He kept on going. And all of these years have gone by, and now Paul realizes, hey, this guy did change after all. I didn't want to give him a chance, but somebody gave him a chance, and he's changed. That's what we need to remember every day. We're going to have our discouragements. We're going to have our faults. We're going to have our failures. There are going to be times that people criticize us, but we keep on living for the Lord. We keep on serving the Lord. We keep on lifting our hands. And sometimes, like Paul, we look at other people and we don't have patience with them, but we've got to remember God is not finished with that person yet. God is still working on that other person at our side, just like He's working on us. Just like we want God to be patient with us, we need to be patient with other people. They keep on going. A few more years go by, and now Paul's in prison, the year 64 AD, 2 Timothy 4 and 11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Paul's in prison, and they say the Mamertine prison in Rome, and that prison cell, it was probably 50, 55 degrees all year long. There was no light. It was just Paul by himself, a dirt floor, the filth, the atmosphere, the rats that were crawling around, sometimes maybe chewing on his toe. And here was Paul in prison, and in one place he writes, "In all things give thanks." In the worst moment, he was still able to praise the Lord. But now in his worst moment, almost 14 years after that day, when he got into a big fuss with Barnabas, and when he said, "I don't want John Mark to come with us," now Paul, who's in prison, says, "Only Luke is with me. Nobody else is around." He's going through a trial. He's going through an affliction. He's going through something difficult. And then he continues and he says, "Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." All those years have gone by, and now Paul, who's gone through the world three times, preaching the gospel, three missionary journeys, preaching and raising up churches and starting churches in places where there was never any churches before, fighting the beast at Ephesus in peril of his life, in shipwrecks and fastings and in perils of thieves and so many things that he's gone through. And now all of these years later, he said, "I want John Mark to come and visit me in prison, because his words, his ministry, his spirit, his anointing can comfort me now in this time as the years go by." It doesn't matter to God what we were yesterday. It doesn't matter to God what we are today. The Bible says in one place, forgetting those things which are behind, we keep going and we keep living for the Lord. And we keep picking ourselves up. And sometimes, maybe like John Mark, we have our failures and we have our faults and we've done things wrong and we've done things that we're embarrassed about and we feel bad about. But John Mark cast that aside. He put it out of his mind and he kept on living for the Lord. And finally, the Lord healed all of that situation. And here was Paul saying, "I want John Mark to come and preach to me while I'm in prison." All of that's changed. And here's Paul, who didn't have much patience. Maybe he was critical. Some of us are like that. And now all of these years are past. And he said, this little snotty-nosed kid, this little oily-faced teenager, if you would, I want him to come and preach to me. I want him to come because there's an anointing in his life. If we could just stop and realize, we look at ourselves and we get discouraged and we get frustrated. We look at ourselves in the mirror and sometimes we have a pity party and we think, nobody loves me, nobody cares, nobody knows who I am, nobody likes me. Let's just be like John Mark and decide, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on living for the Lord. And I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. And I'm going to keep on loving Him. And all the while, behind the scenes, the Lord is working on our lives. And He's changing us. And He's moving in our lives. He's moving in our hearts. And He's changing us. Every time we're in the service, every time we're listening to the Word of God, the Lord is doing something in our lives. He's changing us. He's moving in our lives. We live in an instant society. We live in a microwave society where we want everything now, but God doesn't work that way. When God wanted to make a bird, when He wanted to make a universe, when He wanted to make the stars, all He did was speak, and they were there. But when God wanted to make man, He got down in the dust, in the clay, and began to form, and began to mold him and make him. That took time. It took work. And then God breathed in him the breath of life. We're so much more valuable than the stars in the sky. When the Lord works on us, He does it just a little at a time. Because there's something beautiful about someone who is being made into His image. They tell the story years ago of a woman who lived in a desert place. She had lived in a place before where it was green and beautiful. She had flowers. She had plants in her yards. It was beautiful. Then she went to live. Her family moved and they lived in a desert place. And she lived in a house and outside it was just a dusty front yard. Nothing was there. And she would go and she would try to plant seeds hoping something would come up. She would water it and nothing ever happened. But you see, that lady was always washing her dishes and washing her clothes and she had that big tub of hot soapy water. And every time she would get done washing the dishes or washing the clothes, she would take that soapy water and she would pour it out the window. And that soapy water would sink down into the soil and somehow the soap, as it would go down every day, would wash out the impurities, Wash out the salt, wash out the chemicals, wash out the alkali, the things that kept things from growing. And finally, after a few times, she went outside and she noticed where she had been throwing the dishwater. It was green, and things were beginning to grow in just that one little place. Well, that's how the Word of God is in our lives. We come and we hear the Word of God, and something happens inside of us. We don't see it right away. We don't see anything instant, but something's happened. And then we go again to church, and we're in the presence of the Lord, and people are worshiping, and they're lifting up their hands. There's something beautiful about a place where God's people are lifting up holy hands, worshiping the name of Jesus. And the Word of God in our hearts again. And it goes on, and it goes on. And then after a while, we begin to change. God begins to do something in our lives. We look at Paul's life. He didn't have any patience for John Mark. But look at Paul. In the year 50 AD, Paul writes, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. See, Paul's all excited. I'm an apostle. I'm a great man. 7 years later, in Corinthians, he writes, he says, I am the least of apostles. The years go by, he grows a little bit, and all of a sudden he's not the great apostle. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. You start growing, and you start thinking less of yourself, and you start being less critical of other people around you. 4 years later, 61 AD, Ephesians, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. He starts out, I'm the great apostle. And then he goes down a notch. He says, I'm the least of all the apostles. And then he goes down a little more. He says, I'm the least of all the saints. And then a few more years go by. And he says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He goes from being the great apostle to being the least of the apostles. And then he's the greatest of sinners. He just keeps thinking less of himself. But while he's thinking less of himself, he's more patient with the people around him. When we really start growing in the Lord, when we really start maturing in the Lord, we're going to think less of ourselves and start realizing, look at what the Lord is doing at all these people around me. John Mark grew and he changed. Paul himself was growing and he changed. The Lord wants to change us. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What kind of liberty is he talking about? He's talking about he frees us from the hurts of the past. He wants to set us free from the mistakes that we made so that we can keep on going forward and living for him and growing in him. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. He wants to change us. He wants to make us over again. Ephesians says, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What kind of captivity did he lead captive? The things that have us bound. He brought that into captivity to set us free so that we could be made into his image. We all have the measure of faith. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be hammered into the mold of this world, what the world wants you to be. He said, but be ye transformed, changed. And what does it say? By the renewing of your mind. You wake up, you feel depressed, you feel discouraged. You look at yourself, you think, I've done so many things wrong. That's what the Lord wants to renew in our lives. He wants to give us a new mind, a new way of thinking, a new faith in our hearts. And the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all have faith. The Bible says every man has been dealt the measure of faith. When we come into His presence, when He fills us with the Holy Ghost, that's when He begins to start working on us and changing us. Sometimes as people, we have too many hurts that we're carrying in our mind. We have too many painful things, things that happened long ago, things that people might have said. Think about John Mark that day when he saw Paul and Barnabas fighting and fussing and making a big scene over him. Think about the hurt as a young man that he would have had in his heart. But he decided, I'm going to lay that aside and I'm going to keep going because I know that the Lord has called me. I know in whom I have believed and that He is able to keep that. He's able to keep me until that day. We keep going. We keep living for the Lord. We keep serving Him. We keep on living for God. We keep growing in His presence. Can we just stand together for a moment? Some of us, we hold on to too many hurts. We hold on to too many failures. We hold on to too many things that we've done wrong. We hold on to too many things that people have said that hurt us. We hold on to too many things. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, we press forward. We keep going forward. How many times was John Mark hurt, but he kept on going? And finally the day came as the years passed by. He had grown. His ministry had grown. He changed. He got the victory in his life. He got the victory over the past. He got the victory over the hurts. He got the victory over the pain. And here was the great Apostle Paul, one of the greatest, most anointed men of God, one of the greatest preachers in history, who came to the point where he said, I want John Mark to come while I'm in prison. I want to hear his words. I want to hear his teaching. I want to hear his preaching because he is profitable to me for the gospel. God isn't looking at what we used to be. God isn't looking at what we are. What he wants to do is take us into his arms, take us into those nail-scarred hands, and he wants to begin molding and changing and moving in our lives and taking this away and adding this and taking that away and adding this and making us more and more and more in his image. Can we all gather around today? Just for a few moments. Let's just gather into his presence. Let's just lift up our hands and worship that name of Jesus. And let's just pray that the Lord would reach down today and heal us. Not just a physical healing, but that he would reach down and heal our minds. That he would reach down and heal our hurts. That he would reach down and heal our pains. That he would reach down and set us free and give us liberty today. That somehow when we would leave this place today, that we could be renewed in our minds. That somehow we could be set free. That captivity could be gone from our hearts. And that there could be a victory in our lives. That holy anointing oil, that balm of Gilead, would once again flow in our hearts and our lives. That we could feel his presence. That we could feel his nearness. That we could feel his touch. He's here today. He's here today. He's here today. And he wants to touch us. He wants to let us feel his presence. He wants to let us feel his nearness. He wants to let us feel his touch. He's